Blog Talk Radio.
Make some noise.
Okay, Sports City, we back in the building, or we taking our talents outside. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. We got you locked and loaded for the next hour or so. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you are here with the chefs, and I have to deal with the evil forces that are here with me right now. My co-host, sidekick, the villain himself, Barry Jordan, welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
The villain is in the house. Every good hero needs a villain. Don't you forget it. I'm doing good. I'm just waiting for that boy Sirius to get out of church. Come on, get out of church, baby. We ready to rock and roll. Let's go.
Slow down, slow down. I know he'll be coming in soon, trying to make his entrance. You know what I'm saying? It's things of that nature, about one simple thing. But, hey, I'm ready and built for it. This is what the cookout is all about, bringing the heat. So, first and foremost, before we get into that, I know he'll be coming soon or whenever he tries to make his little appearance and go all crazy. We have a crown champion in the MLB from the World Series that took place last night, and I want to kind of get in-depth into this as best as we can. The Los Angeles Dodgers closed the door on the Tampa Bay Rays, winning that series 4-2, and the game, the final score of the game was 3-1, in which I am beside myself, and my look at this situation is kind of like my team had, like, they didn't have nothing to do with the game at all, but my team had somebody from the Tampa Bay Rays organization that did the same thing in our series, and they did the same thing last night in the World Series, and it's like they try to be the, and I miss him right now because he'll say this, and I never really use the slogan, but I want to use it now, and he would use it for, like, general management purposes and things of that nature. But some people really look to be the smartest person in the room. And shout out to Chandler Knight. I give you a lot of credit for saying that to me earlier in life, especially earlier here in Sports City. And now, you know, as time progressed, I started to see it more and more and more. And looking at the way that they managed that game, Snell was pitching well. He gave up a hit, and I guess it must have just shook the manager up, if you will, and they pulled him when he had a scoreless game going up against the Dodgers in a game that they must win, and he is your Cy Young winner. He is your Cy Young winner. Let him go out there and do what he needs to do. They pull him, and as soon as he started walking out to the bump, I'm like, the Dodgers are going to tattoo every pitcher that comes to that bump, no matter who it is, they're going to hit him. As soon as he comes in, they already got a base runner, get a run in, and it's like already the floodgates are open. And it's like looking at the scenario of that being like the smartest guy in the room and trying to, I want to say, overmanage. You know what I'm saying? Like do too much while they are up there. And Snell said he was disappointed and pissed off because he still had it. Even if he was going to give up a run, let him give up a run. Like he didn't give up a run. It was still 1-0. You guys had the lead. Like hang on to the lead. You don't have no faith in your Cy Young winner. I don't get it, but Barry, I want to start right there because that is definitely under my skin. I don't want to take anything away from the Dodgers because I do like the Dodgers. Don't get me wrong. I do give them credit for what they do. But I feel like it was, you know, handed over. And there's a lot that goes behind it. But I don't want to take too much away from you. Your thoughts on the World Series and the Los Angeles Dodgers now celebrating their last championship was in 1988, 32 years ago.
I remember that championship. Oriel Hershiser basically carried that team. The Mets, I was a Met fan back then. Darryl Sure already got good in.
Whoa.
Super fast. So my dad, my grandfather and my dad are Met fans. Raised me as a Met fan. And I loved Darryl Strawberry and I loved not good. TP, come on, you had to have been a strawberry.
I have to write. No, I wasn't. Kid. I have to write this down. I have to write this down. Hold on. Just
wow.
Continue.
Okay. All right. So write that down. So yeah. So I went to an '88 playoff game. I was really young. All I remember is Gary Carter lining out to right field the end of the game. That's all I remember. So I remember that '88 series. The Mets should have won. They were the better team, but Oral Hershiser was amazing, and he I think it was the MVP that year or something, or definitely Cy Young. And basically, you know, that was it. So congratulations to the Dodgers. I've never really been a Dodger fan. As a Yankee fan, you know, Yankees, Dodgers, and then my dad, you know, my dad knew Jackie Robinson, you know, went to school with his daughter, you know, so had a connection with him. But once they left, you know, the connection was gone. So, but listen, this is a good team. You know, they had been to the World Series 3 out of the last 4 years. You know, you saw a couple years ago when the Dodgers left their ace in Kershaw a little too long and the Astros started to tattoo him and they never recovered. Kershaw in game 5, I'll get to Kershaw in a minute, but Kershaw, you know, came out of the game early. Dave Roberts pulled him out as opposed to leaving him in, and the bullpen did their job. Blake Snell was rolling. The you know, Cash pulled him out. The bullpen didn't do their job. You know, it's easy to second guess that move because, you know, it went one way or the other. It's easy to second guess because it didn't go his way. But if the bullpen does their job and gets out of that inning, you know, he looks like a genius. I think the analytics kind of took over that matchup. It's a lot of factors, TP. You know, going into the third time around in the lineup, the third time around, usually the lineups have a higher batting average and war and all that good stuff. So I could see where he didn't want to face Mookie Betts, but Mookie Betts had looked foolish the first two at bats. I think he had faced one over the minimum batters through those first 5 innings. Of those 18 or 19 hitters that came to the plate, I think he had nine strikeouts. And they were embarrassing. Sorry, they were not on stride. They were all either way behind or way in front. He had owned them with the fastball, with the slider, and the curveball. I think he had one hard-hit ball, if I remember. So, listen, if they get those outs, you know, Cash looks like a genius. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's the eyeball test, PP. I mean, I know you agree. Like, you see him dominating. Throw the numbers out the window. Throw the notebook out of the window and let your guy pitch. And if he loses it, then he loses it. But, I don't know what you're saving him for. You had to win game 6 to get to game 7. So, you know, I don't know why you took – I personally would have left him in. But I've seen pitchers get left in before. I've seen Pedro Martinez pitch way too long in 2003 game 7, and it came back to bite him. I saw Kershaw a couple years ago against the Astros. So, you know, it's easy to second guess. But listen, when Roberts pulled Kershaw in game 5, the bullpen did their job. When Cash pulled Snell, his Cy Young winner, they didn't do the job. And that was the difference. There's two things that I take away from the series. One is a little bit of redemption for Kershaw. Kershaw, you know, probably the best pitcher of our time, arguably one of the best, greatest pitchers of all time. The numbers don't lie. ERA and what have you, but hadn't come up big in the playoffs. Finally did. He didn't have that signature game where, you know, that game 7 shut down, but I mean game 5 was a big game because after game 4, when the Rays won that game in the bottom of the inning or what have you, with the play at the plate, it could have went sideways for the Dodgers. And for Kershaw to come back and have the game that he did, 2 runs over 6 innings, and basically hold that team up and push them to a game 6 clinching game, I think that was his signature game, and it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. The other storyline, TP, I want to get your opinion on Kershaw, but definitely Mookie Betts. I mean, is he arguably the best player in baseball right now? I mean, I vote for Mike Trout every day of the week, but Mike Trout's never in the playoffs. Mike Trout's on the West Coast, where we're on the East Coast. We never even get to see him. He's like that guy you hear, but you never see. Mookie Betts is in L.A., but prime time in the playoffs, and he does his business. He does his work in Boston and in L.A. He's got chips. Can you make a case for that guy? But, I mean, congratulations to the Dodgers. It was, under the circumstances with COVID, they came through. They finished the sprint, and they deserve to be the champion.
Sports, there's a lot of stuff that I just had to, like, endure right now. Like I can't believe what just happened. Like, I feel like I have a migraine or something that's happening.
On
man.
A personal
we
level,
a,
right?
We have a Met fan. Okay, so first off, we have a Met fan now. There's a Met fan here, and he's showing love to a Boston Red Sox that moved to L.A.
No, he's not a Red Sox anymore.
You're being rude. He's a year removed from being from Boston, and you're giving him props in 1 year. This you're not measuring him in a 1 year spectacle compared to Trout, are you? Or are you giving me what you saw on the East Coast when he was in Boston?
He's an MVP.
You see,
he's an MVP.
Where was the MVP at? Where?
What are you talking about?
Where did he win his MVP at?
Mookie Betts?
Yes.
Oh my God! Didn't he win an MVP? Okay, all right.
Okay, like I was saying before, I was rudely interrupted. People, I'm stunned. You know, because this is Barry like showing his heart. Like this is he's going back to like you know those times, like you see the movies and they talk about the good times that were, and then you see the villain start crying like a teardrop fall out and they try to get all evil again. This
he
is
won the MVP
man.
In 2018. Stop.
Okay, and what team was he on?
He was on Boston, so what?
Okay, so you're showing him love is what I'm saying. You're showing him love. We're seeing the softer side of the villain. This is what I'm talking about. So we see him.
So inappropriate. This is why I can't hang with you. This is exactly why I can't hang with you. Because I respect real. I respect.
I'm giving you props. I'm giving you props. I'm just saying it's a migraine. It's so much to handle because you so pro Yankee and nobody's better than us.
Black Moon?
And Bronx this, Bronx that. So it's like now I'm seeing the real you. You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm reading the book and everybody's in the movies like with their popcorn like, oh, my goodness, do you see what Barry was going through? Like they're feeling sorry for you. So but on another spectacle, you know what I'm saying? That's a very interesting discussion if it's between him. Trout, I'm trying to like conjure up somebody quickly that I could think off the top of my head. But those would probably be the arguable two, at least in the American League. But yeah, he brought more firepower and snap and in that lineup. And you know, I'm a Cody Bellinger fan. I like what he does at the plate. But I think Mookie and Seager did the job for this team. And once Mookie got that bomb out of there. I thought it was, that closed the door. Like it was. I don't think Tampa Bay could have did anything to get back into that game after Mookie hit that home run and started screaming. I really thought that it was over right there. But Kershaw's situation, he finally got over the hump, and it's like how you looked at Steve Young back in the day when they were saying like getting the monkey off his back. It was always like they would get to this point in time, you know. Whether it was a championship or the World Series and fall short. Something always fell short. A lot of times we would see Kershaw get ripped in the postseason. And it's like, when does he get over the hump? And he finally got it done. Did enough work to like leave it up to the bullpen and his offense to carry him out, even though, you know, it was a tight game. It was a tight game. And I can't really poo poo too much of what Tampa Bay was able to do up until this point. And making this a very interesting series, and I thought that they could push it to a game seven to get us all popcorn ready for the situation, but it just bothers me the way that some managers make those moves, and, you know, you try to save the pitcher from themselves, but me, myself, in my head, just like Barry said himself, I'm looking at Blake Snell like, dog, if we need 8 or 9 innings out of you, this is win or go home. You got it. Like, you got it. You didn't even give him the time to go out there and do that. He's in a shutout game right
exactly.
now. You could even see his face when he's going into the dugout, like he and I hate to like call a man out, but it looked like he was about to like cry, like you know, like he's mad that he's out of the game. Like you could tell he was supremely frustrated. So it's like I feel robbed.
Well, he's like he was like punching air like Boys in the Hood.
right. You silly. You see, this is the villain. See? Like now he's picking on Trey. But no, like you know. No, but you see him like dapping everybody up. He giving them high fives, but it's like yo, he just shaking his head like he holding it back. You can tell he's holding it back. So, again, like I don't want to take too much away from what the Dodgers are able to do. Like I said, Seager won the MVP. He's probably been the most, you know, on target contact hitter for that roster. Even though Mookie Betts definitely throws his hat in that situation, and I have to go this way, and it may turn people. I don't even know if it turns people's stomach or whatever, but. I feel a certain way about it, even though us as the people of the United States and the world together are dealing with it. So in the eighth inning, they pulled Turner. Turner was found with the COVID-19. They had to pull him. So when they win the World Series, now this is the interesting part. He comes out, and he's telling them, like, there's no way you're stopping me from doing this, that, and the third. Yeah. And the crazy part is, like, the whole team had to be exposed to that situation. You know what I'm saying? And he's celebrating. And he pulled his mask off, and he held the trophy. Like, everything happened right there. So it's like, I understand where he's coming from because they just won the World Series. You know what I'm saying? Like, he may never get this again. You know what I'm saying? So, like, whatever fine or ban he may face, I understand where he's coming from. But then you look about if you're jeopardizing other people's health, and it's like, damn, like, what is he supposed to do? Like, put a glass cubicle around him and just tell him to walk? Like, I don't know. So it's like I'm caught in the middle of that, like, and want to hear how you feel about that as well. But knowing that he came back out there, and if Tampa Bay was out there, then, like, well, they're not within 6 feet of him. But, you know, like everybody's exposed at that point.
No, I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up because I didn't want to get into it. But I'm glad you did because it was totally inappropriate. And I understand that he wanted to be out there. You make a great point because he might not be able to do it again in his lifetime. But I mean, the risk you're putting people at, not just yourself, but the other people around you, is what made it really inappropriate and really upsetting because, you know, look at the times we're living in, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, my mother, bless her heart, hasn't really come out of the house at all. You know what I mean? This whole time. Because she's older and she has health issues. I coaxed her out of the house last week for the first time. And there's people that just can't go out because of medical reasons. You know what I mean? I have medical reasons that I take a risk every time I go out. So it's like for him to not only take that risk upon himself, but then expose others to that risk and not and have no just blatant disregard for that is really upsetting. You know, it's like the fine, who cares? He's not going to care about the fine. It's, you know, you got to come on. I think you got to come at him hard with this because, you know, you're right. Not only did he have the mask on a little bit, then he took it off. Then he was touching the trophy, hugging everybody. I don't know if they knew he was positive. I'm sure they had to have known at that point that he was pulled out of the game because he tested positive. I mean, it's just, you're not just going to pull him out of the game for a defensive replacement. They had to have known. So, but they were in the moment. And, you know, it's just inappropriate. I wish Turner had thought twice, really. I mean, I know it would have killed him not to have been on that field, but it could have killed someone to be on that field. How about that?
Right. So it's, I'm caught in the middle of that. Like, how do I look at it? Like, I'm not going to lie, Barry. I'm on your side with, like, knowing we have family members and people with health issues as long as ourselves as well. But it's like me, myself, being a player, an athlete in these sports, is like, man, to win a championship at its highest level, it's like, okay, well, just put me in one of those 3M smocks. With the big mask on me, I can't breathe the same air as them. Just let me walk out there and just hug them like that or something. Like, let me do something like that because I'm not sitting up in here. I'll be up in there crying like, I can't even touch nobody.
Do it like Back to the Future when he had that big yellow suit on, you know what I mean? Like,
That's what I'm talking about. The 3M, like, you know, the Scotch tape material, that smartness. Just put that all over me and just I'll run out there and make it all yellow. Like, you can hug me now. Touch me now. I'm going back in the locker room. Just let me pop some champagne and go crazy. But so it's like I'm caught in the middle of that, like how I look at that. And it's tough, you know, with that going on. Okay, so I got a lot. So I wanted to get this one in quickly. This is a quick one. How do you feel about the Mets getting close to being purchased by a guy who has a business right here in Stamford, Connecticut, Steve Cohen? I don't know if you thought about that or, you know, how J-Lo and Alex Rodriguez were trying to purchase the team, but knowing that so many people are trying to put their hands in the pot to try to get the Mets, and it's also being trying to be stopped by Mayor Bill de Blasio, too. So this is getting interesting as it is going on. So your thoughts on your – I don't even know what to call you no more. Your Mets or your
I'm a Yankee fan. Let's be clear. Listen, my father is a Mets fan, and, you know, I still follow the Mets.
You are, too. Don't blame it on Big Larry.
I don't root against them. I don't root for them to lose. My father and my grandfather were Mets fans, so –
This is like you showing love to the Jets. This is exactly what this is like. You are showing love to the Jets.
Come on, I love the misery of Jet fans. I mean, like, nah, the Mets. I don't like to see them lose. I like to see them win when they're not playing the Yankees. But
this
I saw De Blasio is trying to. I don't know if he's trying to get votes. I don't know if he's trying to get his pocket greased, but he ain't gonna stop this sale. He has no clout in this thing. If anything. New Yorkers are ready to watch him hit the door. He's probably one of the worst mayors since Giuliani. You know, shout out to Borat. But I mean, listen, Stevie Cohen is the best thing that can happen to the.
Wait.
No, I'm serious. No, I'm serious. Like Steve Cohen
about
is the best
Borat,
thing that
go,
can
no,
happen
no, no,
to
no, go.
What? What?
Oh. No. Go continue. No. I said about the Borat thing. Like I started laughing. That's why I said, oh my goodness.
Yeah, I just put that in. I know you like that. But no, Steve Cohen is the best thing that can happen to the Mets. Like, you know, the Wilpons don't spend money. They're a big market team. They're a small market mind in a big market city. They don't spend the money. The best thing that could happen was to sell the team. They didn't want to sell SNY, the station that the Mets carry, that they play on and is part of the deal. And I think they had them start to relent on that as well. And I think they keep like a minority stake, I think maybe 5%, so they can keep their luxury box and stuff. But yeah, listen, Cohen, he's got billions of dollars. Met fans should be happy that owners come in with money so that they'll spend and be able to compete on the level of the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Red Sox. So, I think that's a great thing. And, you know, the Mets, you know, have been miserable for a while, and I think, you know, they deserve this. I don't know how – I think, seriously, J-Lo and A-Rod would have been just as good. I think they had enough money and enough partners in the pot to be serious contenders. I don't know that whole dichotomy, like that, you know, basically with J-Lo and Alex wanting to – I know Alex grew up a Mets fan and wanted to be an owner, but, you know, I don't – it was all weird. Like, all these articles coming up about J-Lo and you know, how her interest and all that. Who cares? They were serious contenders, but, I mean, Cohen was the guy that they wanted for a while. That deal fell through, and it came back on the table. It's good for Mets fans. You know, now they'll be able to spend some money and hopefully have a little hope in Queens.
He said, "We have hope in Queens." This is.
I didn't say that. I said they'll have a.
You just said hope. We have hope in Queens. These are your exact
words.
And
You know what? Run the tape back. Run it back.
I will. Don't worry, Sports City. I got us. Don't worry. And they said the show must go on. But Mets, I hope you guys turn it around. To be honest, like, I live here in the tri-state area, and just for competitive nature. To the people that I know out here that are Mets fans, we go back and forth arguing or debating, so on and so forth. But enough is enough. Like, they are not competitive. They go out there and win a couple of games in April or March and just fall apart as soon as summer comes. Like, it's like, why and how? And, like, turn this around. It's like, and not to do this to Barry here, but it's like, it's enough that the Yankees are the talk of New York. Like, when do you guys become relevant in New York? Like, when? When does orange or blue get to hold it down out here? Like, you guys are getting bullied by the Phillies.
To be honest, TP, I think not only that they're going to be able to buy players, but they're going to invest. Like, the Wilpons don't invest in the team. They don't invest in analytics. They don't invest in the best equipment. They don't invest in the scouting. Like, that's the money that if you don't see that they don't invest in that because they don't have the money because of the Ponzi scheme they got into. So to your point, Met fans should be happy because now that the money is going to be put back into the organization and build a winner just like the Astros did, because the Astros were terrible. And look at what they've done. They're a perennial contender every year because of the money they invested in scouting and finding these players. So that's where it counts.
I'm trying to get there, but you won't let me finish. So it's okay. Look, Four City. I told him he'll be happy with the way I'm cooking today. I told him. I tried to tell him. Okay, so I want to keep it moving. I know there was a couple of things that I wanted to jump into NFL, but I'll let you set it off first with the NFL. What's the first thing that you would like to throw on the grill here at the cookout?
I mean, there's a lot that happened this week, but, I mean, one of the big storylines was Cam. Cam looked terrible, and he's looked terrible for the last couple of weeks. The Patriots are in big trouble. I think if you're a Patriot fan, I know a bunch of Patriot fans. Shout out to all my Patriot fans I went to college with. it's panic time in New England. They haven't seen this in over 20 years. So they're in danger of not making the playoffs. I think Cam's in danger of losing his job. I can't blame him completely because, this is why Tom Brady – it's like the old poker adage, know when to hold them and know when to fold them. He knew when to get the hell out of New England because they had no weapons. Julian Edelman's on the back end of his career. They got a running back by committee, and there's a receiver named Harry. I think he plays in New England. Sometimes he gets open, but most time he doesn't. Like, there's nobody there. Cam has nobody to throw to, but Cam looks lost. Cam's never been a good passer. I think one season in his whole career, he passed for over 60% completion percentage. So, I mean, he's struggling. If he can't run it, they can't get it done. I don't know. Listen, I don't want to say Cam's done, but if Cam can't get it figured out, he might not get another shot. So, I'm not a big Cam fan. You know me, TP. I've never been a Cam fan. I never was really a fan of him, but I don't want him to go out like this. I want him to go on his own accord. If he can't turn it around in New England, and if Bill can't get it figured out, even though they've got like 8 players, that didn't come back on defense because of COVID, it's going to be a long season in New England. It gets cold up there too. So I'll leave it up to you. Is Cam finished or what? What are we looking at here?
Okay. I'm a date myself. Cause now I got to get personal with this dude. I got to get personal with him. I'll be letting Barry like tiptoe up around the building and do what he do at the cookout. But in the words of Gary Coleman, a.k.a. Arnold, what are you talking about, Willis? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I get it. He is struggling out the gate right now. As of him being one of those 8 players coming back from the COVID, you lose strength. You lose a lot. Like, that COVID is no joke, brother. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, Cam, this, Cam, that. This dude is fighting something that killed over 200,000 people in America. In America, like, and he don't have nobody. Just like you said, he don't have – name his tight end. Name his tight end. He don't have nobody, like, let alone he's a scrambler. So he's ready to run. That every defense know he's ready to take off. And him and I'm saying it to him too. He said, oh, and it might be a permanent loss. Dog, you lost one game. I mean, y'all lost a couple, but y'all playing a good defense. It's like San Francisco bums? Like, they just went to the Super Bowl. They just went to the Super Bowl, and they're trying to climb their way out of a hole that they just created out in the NFC West. Like, give me a break. Like, both of y'all. Who? Jared Stidham is going to take his job? Did you see what Jared Stidham looked like on the field? Hoyer? Wait, hold on. Hoyer's going to take his job? Who's going to take his job?
I think Hoyer was cut, right?
I think Hoyer, it makes it even worse if Hoyer's cut. If Hoyer's out of here, that makes it even worse. Did you see what Hoyer looked like on that Monday night game against the Chiefs? The dude made one of the most biggest blunders I've ever seen, and it wasn't even like a blooper blunder like you laughed about it. You look at him like, and I'm not a Chiefs fan or a Patriot fan. I grabbed both sides of my temples and was like, yo, what are you doing, dog? Like, are you serious? Like, are you serious you just did that? Like, there is no way, dog. They need to give you grounds or, like, you, like give you a check. Like, dog, are you okay? Like, somebody really need to talk to him. Be like, is it a mental situation? Is it that health? Like, are you breathing, like, okay? Like, people were saying, like, he didn't really have the zip on his passes. People relax. You guys think, that's Bill Belichick on that sideline. Everybody that played the Patriots, they coming out with their best game to play the Patriots. Like, people got to chill out. This ain't no attack cam right now. Get him out of there and see him not play football again. Because I could tell you right now, if they got rid of Cam, I could think of at least 5 teams right now that could use Cam Newton's services. Right now. Right now. So I'm not – well, not to just pick on you saying it, but it's just like I don't even want to hear, like, people, including Cam, saying that, oh, he's going to get benched. You put Jared Stidham in and you see what the hell y'all look like. Y'all be the Jets. Y'all will be the Jets if y'all put Jared Stidham in a damn game. I don't want to hear that crap. Cam did struggle. Don't get me wrong. Don't make it look like I'm totally being defensive for him. But he did look bad. But he is coming back with the COVID. And he has to run a complex system of the doggone Patriots, too. So, and he has nobody. You can't even name his tight end. You can't even name – all you can name is his running backs right now. And his running backs are out. Like, and N'Keal Harry, I don't like picking on people like this unless you really deserve it. You were overrated coming out of Arizona State, and I thought big of you when you were coming out of college. You came to the league, were injury-prone, and didn't come up to be the cream of the crop, if you will, at the end of the day. The kitchen is filling up, Barry. We got a couple of callers, and I was not paying attention. Okay. We have Sirius in the building. Aaron Simmons, welcome to the Cooker. How are you feeling this evening?
You know what, gentlemen? I'm not going to waste your time, man. I got some business to take care of. First and foremost, gentlemen, it's a pleasure to be here with you guys. But I'm going to pick right up where you guys let down. I don't understand how you claim to know football, have Cam Newton sit his dumb behind down. I don't care that N'Keal Harry is dropping passes. I do not care that you can't name his tight end. If you look at that San Francisco 49er game, he was overthrowing people. He was throwing behind people. He was throwing in the double and triple coverage. This is the same type of stuff that he was doing that got his behind kicked out of Carolina. Now, I get it. He came off the COVID. Again, as a person who has beat it and who has recovered, I understand what that does to your body. But if you cannot throw accurately, if you cannot zip on the football, if you cannot read a defense, then sit your behind down until you can. I, for one, was in the building beating the drum for Cam to get a job. I, for one, was in the building like, yo, Cam, you know what, man, maybe you need a shot, maybe you need to, you know, go somewhere else, get a chance to scenery, rejuvenate your career. But this is the same Cam Newton that I'm seeing in Carolina. And at some point, gentlemen, we have to sit there and be like, yo, bruh, you ain't got it no more, man. Like you can't be Lamar Jackson. There's only one of those. You can't run around no more, man. You got to sit back there, read a defense, and hit a pass. And he is skipping balls to receivers.
So you think
Hold on.
Well, we do got another caller here, though. So you telling me he's right. Washed up. He's finished.
It's a wrap for him, bro. It's a wrap.
Wait, say that again. Say it again. You said it's over?
It's a wrap.
Yeah, he said it's a wrap. He said it's like Reynolds. It's a wrap.
Wow. I don't know about that. Okay. We do have another caller in queue. Mr. King, welcome to the Cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
I am feeling good, and you won't be very happy with what I'm going to say either about Cam. Because anytime Garner Minshew has better stats than you, then, yeah, it might be time for you to sit down. I'm just saying, you know. I mean, You know, I kind of.
Okay, I want to ask you this with a straight face. I want to ask you this with a straight face. Who's a better quarterback, Gardner Minshew or Cam Newton, honestly?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Because
can I answer the question?
I think I remember when the season first started, you were one of the ones that was talking about how good Belichick was going to make Cam, and Cam was going to come, going to do this, and the Patriots weren't that behind, that far behind, and oh yeah, it's time for Stedman to sit down. What happened, boss?
What happened was that the dude got sick. Wait, hold on. He doesn't have targets right now, and it's showing. Like I'm thinking that he could make what do they say? You make chicken salad out of chicken, and I won't go that route.
Shit.
But I'm gonna get into the depth chart, and you tell me who's Gaudy coming off right
no,
now.
No,
be
wait,
honest.
TP, we're not doing the depth chart. Listen, here's the deal. If he was healthy, if he wasn't healthy, he shouldn't have been playing. Okay. He played.
That's what I'm saying. Like, somebody need to give him one of those checks. Somebody got to check. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Listen, dog, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Like, I had to come off of that joint in April. Dog, believe me, that joint is no joke when you cannot breathe, dog.
Listen.
Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. I want you to take a deep breath. And picturing the height of your breath halfway through it, you cannot breathe, dog. And he's trying to force himself to be out there with professional athletes. That's why I said somebody got to check with him to be. Are you going to hear me out, or you just want to talk? Tell me what type of dialogue we're going to have here. It ain't just going to cut me off. I'm talking. Look, the end of the day. Hold on. You telling me that at the end of the day, these dudes is all playing for $100,000 to $1 million checks. At the end of the day, he came back as fast as he could off of that joint. Think about some people are trying to come back to work, i.e. Donald Trump coming back after 3 days and trying to run the country, or looking at Cam trying to come back and play a sport in a 7 to 8 day ratio to make this stuff happen. When they're telling people to quarantine for 14 days and they have nothing out here, including, look, y'all can pick on Cam or you want, even Julian Edelman look bad on the field. Like, Edelman look bad out there. Like, so this ain't just him. This ain't just him. The whole organization looking funny right now.
You know something about that statement? Edelman looks bad because
Sugar
Man can't give him the damn ball.
Oh, y'all both can't talk at the same time. Hold on. Say it again,
Sirius. Edelman looks bad because his Sugar Man keeps skipping passes to him and throwing the ball behind him.
There was one pass that hit that boy right in the hands, went off of him, and was a pick.
Hey, yo, okay, so the one pass that Cam Newton hit right in his hands, it went awry. But listen, look at the totality of his time in New England, bro. Outside of that Seattle game, okay? Name me a time when Cam Newton was a legitimate quarterback. Name me a time when
Never.
He got back there, ready defense, and put the ball where it needed to be. He's always sticking passes in the receivers. He's always up with some receivers. He's always relied on his athletic abilities to get the job done. And when you don't have weapons like you are so keen to allude to, you can't do that because people are going to blitz you and you have to make smart reads. That's the same issue that I have with people trying to put Lamar Jackson on this pedestal. And that's another conversation I'm going to get into for another day. But when you are forced to play actually quarterback, hit your back foot, throw on time, throw accurately, Cam Newton has routinely not been able to do it. And, again, I, for one, have always said, you know, maybe a change of scenery will do it. Maybe get under Bill Belichick to do it. I was wrong. This brother cannot play the position. And let me tell you something about Gardner Minshew. If you look at the stats of Gardner Minshew and don't look at the fantasy numbers, the man's putting up numbers. And the only reason why Cam Newton right now is getting this type of cachet is because of his skin color, not because he can play the position. Because if this was a white quarterback, he'd have been out of the league a long time ago.
Wow, this turned into a race thing. Wow. Okay. You can say it. You can say what you got to say. I'm trying to get the Gardner Minshew staff as fast as I can. At the end of the day, though, I know that they're struggling right now. He had a good game up against the Raiders right here. He threw a pick early in that game. I remember that pick was in like the first quarter, and he went off on them for the rest of the game. But still, this is what he's dealing with right now. Like this, like, and honest, like, what receiver core did he have in Carolina? that was a stud. Steve Smith was probably his strongest option. Who are you going to tell me?
And
punches?
He was at the end of
like,
his
like
career.
This is what he's been dealing with. Like he has to take off. Like, that is his makeup. And to compare him to Lamar Jackson, I don't think that's fair. Like, Lamar Jackson is still in this is his third season, and he already won an MVP, and, like, they're trying to bring weapons to him, let alone they're trying to get Dez Bryant to be another weapon. It's him, Hollywood Brown, and Mark Andrews. And they had Hayden Hurst. Like, shout-out to the National tight end day.
You know what the problem is
with
that argument, though, TP? You know what the problem is? And I agree with you. Listen, the COVID is serious, and, you know, that probably could have factored into his performance in the last couple games. But if you were still lingering effects of that, he shouldn't have been playing. So that's one.
No, that's what I agree. That's what I'm saying. Like, is
right.
anybody checking
okay,
to see,
but
like,
here's,
you know, what's, like...
No, go ahead. Good.
No, I'm saying I was gonna let you finish because I'm like, is anybody checking with him? Like, cause you know, like us as players, like, okay, Barry, you know I got injured. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to force my way on the field. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to sit out.
We both
like,
did
like,
it.
I don't want to sit out. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he don't want to sit out either. You gotta think about it like that. They human too. Like, I don't want to see us lose.
Right.
But look at you comparing the same situation here. Gardner Minshew probably got better targets in the passing game than he do. But they won in six.
But see, I'm gonna
saying?
Debunk that argument though, TP. So, I agree with you. Listen, you tore your knee in high school. You got yourself back on the field. I tore my knee. I couldn't get back in 2 weeks, and I begged and I tried, and they wouldn't let me get back on the field. But here's the deal: Tom Brady had the same weapons that Cam Newton had this year. Tom Brady won 12 games, won the division, went to the playoffs. Cam Newton got killed. Couldn't win a game, threw five picks in his last two games. There's
okay.
a difference. Okay, Tom Brady makes that team better because Tom Brady.
Half of these running backs
were
dead.
He's
been without these running backs, though. The running backs been out of the system, too. This receiver core, they hit or miss. They haven't been playing all season long. Think about that.
Who was he throwing to last year? Who was he throwing
who?
To last year?
Who, Brady?
Tom Brady. Who was he throwing to? He was throwing to the same people. He was just dumping it off the running back. Cam can't even do that. Cam's forcing it downfield. He's never been a passer. I'm telling you, he's never thrown for – only once is he thrown for over 60% completion percentage. He's not a passer. He never was. That's one of my biggest criticisms of him, other than his wardrobe, is the fact that he can't throw the ball, okay? So, I mean, he's being exposed. You get older, you need to stop running the ball. You need to sit in the pocket and make the throws down the field. He can't do it. He never could. He always relied on his athletic ability, and now it's coming back to bite him.
Okay, well, we'll see. They do have a game up against Buffalo, and this is in upper
That's
Western New York.
That's the worst team for him to play right now. That's the worst team.
Right. It's a division rival, too, so we'll see how he looks in this game because that defense, they come for the ball, and that secondary
mm-hmm.
fly around, too, especially with Tre'Davious White. So, if he could pull this one off away from home, this will help save some face within the division and actually get closer to Buffalo as Buffalo has the lead in the division. And it's heavy right now because, you know, New England's 2-4. They're 5-2. So they got a lot of ground to catch up to them if they can. But if he's up to this clip, there's no way that they make the wild card or win the division again. But a lot of people want to see that change happen. I mean, Brady's been sitting on top of the AFC East for a while, but – I think something will turn around soon. Hopefully he gets his strength back. That's the one thing I'm hoping Belichick and them sit down with him and be like, yo, like if you don't have the strength to get it done, believe me, they haven't probably felt what he's been going through. And, you know, people are going to force
it's
their
accuracy.
Way in the game.
It's accuracy, not strength. It's accuracy. The weather's not accurate.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. I want to get moving from this topic. There's another topic that I wanted to get into, the NFL situation, and I finally get to cook up something interesting in the kitchen that I'm happy about. Yay. Yes. So, with all of the mayhem that is going down deep in the heart of Texas, and everything is going crazy in Jerry's world, I don't even know where to start. Like I feel like, you know, this is where Barry's, like, influenced me. Like, Barry, like, did, you know, agent, you know, Smith put his hand in my chest and I'm turning into one of them, right? Because I feel like the Grinch laughing at Christmas, like I'm about to mess up Christmas. like the competitive nature in me, I don't want to see the Cowboys do good. But like the analyst in me is like, this is disgusting, right? This is bad. Like this isn't even competitive football. But the Dallas Cowboys trade Everson Griffin to the Detroit Lions for a 6th-round pick, and it's like, whoa. Like, who woke the Lions up and Quinn up? Because we don't make trades before the deadline. It's like we're going to roll with what we got, and that's it. And it's like we picked up a Pro Bowler, and I don't know how they was able to make it happen. We needed a pass rusher. I'm like, all we needed is a safety in the corner, and I'm done. You don't have to ask me for nothing else. I'll be content with it. But at least they got a pass rusher to help out. And one of the defensive ends on the Detroit Lions is out due to injury. So Griffin is coming at a good time, but he won't be able to play due to the COVID, security reason situation. So he can't play this week up against the Colts. But it's already going down in Dallas. Not only did they get rid of Everson Griffin and give him to us, they just now cut today Poe and Worley. But I don't blame them for cutting Worley, because Worley is the corner that keeps getting cooked. Worley is one of the pieces on this grill. Worley is on your local grill somewhere else. Worley is in a pot in New Orleans, Louisiana. Like, he is getting cooked every game. He is the cornerback that got cooked by Kirk by, like, 13 yards and didn't know if he caught it or not and wanted to run again. He was the corner that got cooked in D.C. by McLaurin and didn't even look like he wanted to chase him no more. Like, he is getting cooked left and right. And this is the crazy part. The Cowboys need corners, and they got rid of a corner. Like, it is going down in Dallas. It's looking like a fire sale is about to happen. They may really be on the reset button mode. And this and the pride that I want to see is looking at Jerry Jones's pride right now, because this is the team that he installed, and they look bad. Like I feel like that's a complete understatement, but I'm trying to be as good analytically trying to break this down. I want to see how you guys feel about the moves that have been made in Dallas. I'll start with you first, Mr. King. Your thoughts on what's going down in Jerry's world.
Well, like you said, it's a fire sale. I'm kind of with you. Anytime Dallas goes down, I'm happy. I'm a Steelers fan, so that even says even more. I think Jerry has bit off a little bit more than he can chew. And this time, I think he's starting to realize it. This Mike McCarthy thing has come back to bite him in the butt. He has no Dak, he's shown that, there's no great white hope coming anytime soon. So, hey, man, the only thing I can say is, do like Cincinnati used to do. Ride it out. You'll be all right.
Okay, Barry, your thoughts on what's going down with your division rival, the Dallas Cowboys, Everson Griffin trade, and they're still getting rid of defensive pieces, and they have historically one of the top five worst defenses ever, and they're letting go of pieces.
So first of all, okay, so seriously, listen, this is like you drive down the street and you see a sign that says yard sale. And you look at the yard sale and you see nothing in there that interests you. So what are you going to do? I mean, because it's like old shoes and jacket with a hole in it, broken glass. Nobody wants that crap. I'm just throwing it out. They couldn't get nothing for these guys. They said they couldn't find a trade partner for Poe and Worley. Who would want them? The Jets wouldn't even want them. I mean, give me a break, dude. Okay, listen. Look, Poe was released for poor play on the field. They said not the other stuff, that he was the only player in Jerry's world that took a knee. We won't get into that. But Griffin was traded to the Lions, right? Worley was terrible and was released. This is a terrible team. I would be surprised if anybody on this coaching staff lasts a year. Like, I don't even I don't know who I don't know. McCarthy
is not going to last the year. If he does, he's going after this year. I mean, I would be surprised if he was fired before Thanksgiving. But,
listen. Did you see the press conference? Both of them were crying. Mike Nolan and McCarthy, they both were crying.
Yeah, I mean, listen, would you cry if you were coaching this team? Like, I'd be crying too. like, you see these dudes out here? They don't even make tackles. Listen,
what?
I mean, it's a disgrace that, you know, I understand, you know, it's a different era. It's not the era that we grew up in, where if you hit one of our players like that, then you might get your head taken off. But for nobody to stand up for Andy Dalton after that vicious hit was kind of sad. It was indicative of the whole team.
That's crazy.
It was indicative of the whole team.
That is crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, this is a terrible Cowboys team that's still in the division race if they ever get it together. You know, it's. I mean, listen, you know, I take pleasure in this because I'm a Giants fan. I'm not going to say I don't take – I love it. I love that they stink. I just hope they don't stink enough to get, like, Trevor Lawrence. But, you know, listen, they can turn it around. If they get their crap together against this Eagles team, they can get right back in the race. But can you see this team doing anything? No, they're better off just dying on the vine. And it starts with ownership. Jerry Jones is a disgrace as an owner. He's a terrible owner. His son, Steven, is a terrible GM. They're the ones that picked all these players on this defense, on this offense. They picked the coach. McCarthy, he's not a bad coach. He's not a bad person. He's a bad fit, and he should have never taken the job. You know, he said he did all the analytics. No, he didn't. Come on, man. Like, but even still, he should have never taken this job, and they should have never hired him. I mean, it's a poor job out of Jerry for hiring this guy, and it's a poor job for Steven putting these players together and putting this team together. This is a terrible team. This is a terrible organization from the top down.
First and foremost, like, there was something that was said in a different network, different show, and they said, despite the struggles that the Cowboys are going through, that Jerry Jones needs to be applauded for the team that he put together. And I'm like, and then listen, look, have to absorb. Wait. You have to absorb it because he's thinking about the players and the potential. They're not being put in the right place to make things happen, is what the person was trying to say. So I get where they're coming from. I'm not saying I side with them, but I get where they're coming from. So it's a very interesting discussion. But I'm not buying it because, to be honest, I don't wish bad will or what, Lord forgive me if I'm saying the wrong thing. I don't wish death on anybody, nobody, right? But this is the same situation that Al Davis went through with the Raiders. You have to see him leave this earth for a change to happen because he was settling for what he wanted. His pride was involved. You're looking at the same situation at a healthy Jerry Jones right now. His health isn't bothering him. He's going to stay. Who's going to fire Jerry Jones? You can't pull him out of the ownership or the general management position. He is going to do exactly what he wants. He got money for hours. Like, you're not going to get him to move. So I feel bad that this is happening to the Cowboys, like, analytically. Like I said, competitive reasons, I'm laughing at every last one of y'all that think y'all got a Cowboy jersey, hoodie, shirt. How about them Cowboys slogan in the back of your mind that you think you could throw anywhere at somebody? Like, but, you know, I do like to see competitive play. Like, I'm not trying to sit up here and just watch them get washed up like that. And it bothered me to watch. Like, let alone I get it. Like Bostic, I play defense, so I understand. It's like, and that's the second of the moment. You trying to hit him. You thinking he's trying to do something slick when he slides. But knowing that you got to try to wall off now because there's so many fines and things that can happen in that hit, like, that can get caught up in that situation. So I understand everybody's anger at coming after him, and people on the team should have defended Dalton, and that's bad. They all just threw their hands on their head like, oh, my God, this happened. Like, nobody pushed him. Nobody said, yo, what's going on with you? Nobody got in his face. Nobody went to attack. No other Redskins. It was like the Redskins really was having a picnic up against the Cowboys. A picnic. So we got Sirius back in. Sirius, your thoughts on what happened with Dallas this past weekend, and including the Everson Griffin trade to Detroit?
You know, man, I came in as you was talking, and I couldn't help but laugh because, for real, I am enjoying the mess out of watching the Dallas Cowboys self-implode on themselves. This is beautiful work. I don't care that they're not competitive because there are literally 20-some-odd other teams that are competitive. My dad has me recorded as a very young dude saying, "Go Steelers, Cowboys suck." And so I came into this world understanding two blessing principles. Well, three blessing principles. One, God is good. Two, Steelers are everything. And three, the Cowboys are some trash. And I'm going to take those to my grave. I'm going to pass those down to my little son. And so the fact that I'm enjoying watching what's going on right now is great. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't wish ill will or hurt, harm, or danger on anybody. You know what I'm saying? I honestly believe that they're doing that dirty. They should have paid that man because, in my opinion, he earned it. I didn't like what I saw from Bostic. You know, that hit on Andy Dalton, in my opinion, was Bush League, and it was dirty. And the fact that he's not suspended is downright disrespectful. I understand that, you know, you came in and said, excuse me, why haven't, you know, Cowboys players jumped at him after the hit? You know, I don't understand that either, but at the end of the day, the Cowboys flew all the way to the Metro and put up a field goal. That's beautiful. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. You know what I'm saying? Like, they played divisional opponents this week, and the Philadelphia Eagles coming off a bye week. I expect more of the same, and they play us in 2 weeks, so I expect more of the same. Like, I'm enjoying the mess out of watching the Dallas Cowboys get their brain beat in this season. It's great. I love it. you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm over here smiling from ear to ear, like, Tom, you wanted to be competitive, whatever, do you, bro?
You said getting their brains beat it.
If you missed my whole rant about the Cowboys, this is, I can sum it up in two sentences.
That's all I need to hear, bro. That's all I need to hear. Like, the offensive line, you know, is in the infirmary. You know what I'm saying? Dak Prescott can't walk. Andy Dalton don't know his name from a hole in the – yo, this is great.
This is literally Rocky IV. This is Rocky IV.
Yes, sir.
When he's like,
throw in the damn towel.
You don't even know, man. Like, and this is the bad part about it, right? Because it's like, you know, you want to see them do good, like, so they can be in the playoffs and get upset or something like that.
No.
They still. Wait. They still can win the division. They ain't nowhere near out of this. Like they are 2-5 and they are in the hunt. They are. Philly 2-4, 2-4-1. I want to look at the standings. I know Philly's at the top of it right now. I don't want to be confused on how it is going down in the standings.
No, Philly's on top with 2 wins, 2-4-1. The Giants are 1 game back or 1.5 games back and 1-5. Get yourself together.
The Giants are 1-6. Don't try to lie your way into that.
The Giants are one and six. So I mean, but we're
Washington. Washington and Dallas are tied at 2-5. Washington has the tiebreaker now because they just beat them. So they are basically a little more than half of a percentage out of there. If they beat Philly this coming game right here, they're back in first place. They're back, but I don't know if Ben DiNucci can do this right now. Like, just listening to the names, and I hate to be like this for City, but y'all, I try my best for City to not cross into these race conversations and stuff like that. But y'all really sitting there and acting like Kaepernick cannot come out here and ball, and y'all got Ben DiNucci. I don't even know much about this dude. That's what I'm saying. Go get him. They hiring Blake Bortles. Listen, Denver went and got Blake Bortles just to sit the bench for a week, and they released him. and they released him. Like, what is he doing? He's probably a car salesman. Like, stop that. Like, all that pride that y'all hold on to, stop. Y'all bringing Josh McCown back. Listen, they brought Josh McCown back from, he was coaching the high school football team, brought him back to come out here and play with the Eagles. Like, stop. Y'all can do it with everybody else. Cut the crap. Y'all really hold on
to Jerry Jones, I alluded to it with Poe when he released him. He said it was poor play, but Poe was the only guy that took a knee. And Jerry Jones said nobody's gonna be taking a knee on my team. Like, you know, he's like Leonardo DiCaprio and Django Unchained, right? He ain't nobody gonna, you know, on my plantation, right? So Kaepernick is not gonna be a Cowboy. That's just not gonna happen. And should it happen? Absolutely. Will it happen? No.
Okay. So obviously y'all totally missed the purpose of what I was talking about here. Because everybody don't want to give me no credit or no love or no nothing. Everybody want to be me. What about Everson Griffin coming to the Lions? That's a big pickup. No, the dude made the Pro Bowl. Like, give me some love. I can't get no
the Lions
pat on the back.
I only think about the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. That's it. At 12 o'clock on Thanksgiving. That's the only time I talk about the Lions. So
your first name rings historically in the NFL, and I wonder why.
Villain.
No, you know why. Stop hating. So stop hating. That's bad.
I think about the Lions a couple times a year. First and foremost, I got Kenny Galladay on a bunch of my fantasy teams. Okay. So
look at this. I'm glad he's talking. I'm glad he's talking, Sports City. You don't know. Let me tell y'all about Aaron Sirius Simmons, Sports City. Yo, he go at me here on the radio. Just because it's me. Do you know Sirius will pick up a Lion because he know one of them good out of the rip? And yeah. One of his favorite players growing up as a kid till now, even
in Barry.
Okay. So there you got it. There you go. So he don't need to listen to me. He don't need to pick on me. Wait, hold on. He don't need to pick on me, but he do. He bring that little ass attitude, come out of church with it, all type of stuff. But he like the same dudes I like. He even be giving Calvin credit, follow Calvin every which way too. Like that's crazy. But he come for me. So they talking about. He said he think about him once or twice around a year. Stop. Both of them lying. They both lying.
I do. I do because. I need Kenny Galladay to get me that bread because I got him in like 4 leagues. You know what I'm saying? So, I need Kenny Galladay.
Four leagues. He got my receiver in four leagues.
I'm in seven.
So, he's more than half. He's in more than half of your league. You got Galladay.
The ball. Don't get it twisted. He can ball.
I don't need to get it twisted. I got it straight like 9-15.
You know what I'm saying? The brother can ball. Like, he can score and Lions can lose, like normal.
Are we really talking about Lions right now? Yes, we are.
It's the cookout. Yeah, we're talking about the Lions.
Let me ruin it. I got Josh Jones on my fantasy team. He stinks.
Because he's not getting the ball. Okay, so I'm glad you said that. He's not getting the ball. He argued with Stafford about getting more targets, and it happened against Atlanta. And we can talk about that last second. So I don't have no Lion players on your team and watching my boys and getting mad if they don't do well for y'all. Trade them. Get rid of them. Put them on the waiver wire. I don't want that. Get rid of Galladay. You get rid of Marvin. We probably do even better. Listen. But y'all not even talking about the topic at hand. I'm talking about we just picked up Everson Griffin. That's a big pickup. That is y'all. They don't even want to show me so much love. They're ready to pick on me.
Can we talk about Daryl Moley real quick so I can go lay down with my beautiful wife? I don't want Lions.
No, we can talk about Danny Dimes and his 80 yard scamper where he fell at the 15 and couldn't get up no more.
He just fell out of contention. Exactly. He just fell out of contention for starting quarterback for next year. I guarantee you that. Not only did he fall on the field, he just fell out of love in New York. How about that?
Next caller.
Yeah, he's still going to have that job. Listen, if you guys are the top pick, Trevor Lawrence said he ain't leaving for no New York team. For no New York team, he don't want to leave school. He's going to stay and dominate college football again if you were the Jets up there.
Then go to school. Get that education. I don't care. We'll get another quarterback. I'll get Justin Fields. I don't care, but it ain't going to be Danny.
Danny Bitcoin.
Yeah, Danny Bitcoin. I don't even want to associate him with money. He's Danny Monopoly dollars. He's the big Monopoly money, right? You know what I'm saying?
He called him Danny Bitcoin.
Yeah,
Danny Dimes. Please, if I ever hear anybody call him Danny Dimes again, I'm gonna drive to wherever they are and slap him. I'm gonna slap him. Just like how high, I'm gonna get the baby powder and I'm gonna slap him across the face.
No, in that game he had a couple of passes that was on the mark. He hit him on the dime.
Yeah,
he did
have
a couple of them.
To the other team. on the mark to the wrong
fairness,
team, throwing picks.
In all fairness, Ingram should have caught that pass.
If he catches that pass, we're in first place.
So give him some credit. You got to listen. Look, he already ready to jump ship. Yo, listen, there's a lot of stuff happening with Barry today. Boy, this is bad. Serious, you don't even know.
No, I'm not jumping.
Barry,
you know I'm a Giant.
Listen, Barry is actually.
Wait,
hold on.
I'm always a Giant fan, but I can admit if my quarterback is boo-boo, okay?
Hold on, serious. He is actually a Mets fan, first and foremost. So that came out.
Aaron,
between me and you, Aaron, look. In the past month, we've been hearing some critical stuff here in the kitchen. We got one person that jump snipped already, left me, right, Sarah? Real talk.
Yeah.
Then you got one that came on the air today talking about that they went to Flushing, Queens first before they went to the Boogie Down Bronx. This is what's happening in Sports City. Yo, I'm telling you, if it don't get real, this is real as it gets. I'm telling you that you're getting this here. Okay, so I know
Wait, hold on. Can I talk my shit again? Can I talk my issue again? Listen, my grandfather, rest in peace, and my father brought me up as Met fans. They were Met fans. I went to Shea Stadium. I love Daryl Strawberry. I love Doc Gooden. When Daryl Strawberry left to go to L.A., the villain left. Okay? That's real talk.
Uh-huh.
Okay? When he left in 1994.
And that was
94.
And that was 1994. That was 93-94 when Daryl left. So you telling me.
Are you serious? 94? Do the math. You're off a couple years. Do the math.
When did Daryl go to the Dodgers? When did Daryl Strawberry go to the Dodgers? I'm about to look it up.
I think it was 1990, to be honest with you.
Okay, I'm gonna look that up. But even still, you knew baseball at 9 years old. You knew what was up. You should have stayed right there. You should have stayed right there and took it. But no, you want to jump ship and try to get across to the bridge and go to the Boogie Down Bronx.
With the Mets was 1990. His first year in L.A. was 91. He left the Mets, I think it was in that November or December of 1990. When he left the Mets.
Okay, so 91, you were 10 years old. You were 10 years old going into middle school, so you knew what was going on. You knew loyalty. Stop it. Don't do this.
And that broke my heart.
What you do when Cuzzo left the Giants? When LT left the Giants, what you do?
When LT left the Giants, I was still a Giants fan. He didn't leave the Giants.
Okay, so you ain't leave them? So why you leave
him? He left football so he can go get high again. You know the story. Come on now. He didn't leave to go to another team.
No, this is
he left because of that coke. The cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Oh, my goodness.
Listen, this is what I'm dealing with. I got people, real talk, and then I'm gonna get off this subject because you bringing up hard, hard like bad memories for me. You left in 90. I went to be a Yankee fan. The Yankees stunk those years. Those Yankees stunk, okay? I was a Yankee fan. They stunk. And then they got good when I was still there. I was a Yankee fan in 1991. They stunk those years. I still watched them because they got Wade Boggs, who was my favorite third baseman, and I played third base, and they had Don Mattingly, who was my favorite first baseman. So when they got
okay,
good,
so okay,
I was
here's
there
another
for
reference.
Five.
Okay, so
that's
look,
when so let's get
hold
to,
on.
Let's
so
get
when Patrick,
rocking,
when Patrick Ewing,
get,
hold on, when Patrick Ewing came to Seattle, you stayed in New York, right?
Of course.
You ain't leave all these other teams, but you leaving the Mets like that? That's terrible. You know what? I'm done. You know. Okay. So he wants to talk about Daryl Morey.
TP. I've been a Yankee fan longer than I've been a Met fan. I was 10 years old. What are you talking about?
This argument is irrelevant right now.
Forget it. It's not.
You're fooling yourself.
In the words of Arsenio Hall, things that make you go, Okay, so we are going to get away from this because between him and James Greenwood, they're doing a lot of stuff on air, and this is gold stuff in the kitchen. Believe me, I got this on film. This is great, Sports City. Okay, so he wanted to talk about the Daryl Morey potential move. Well, they said they're finalizing it, so it's looking like he's going to the Sixers. Yeah, they're finalizing it. So he's going to the Sixers, and that he just left Houston from with Sirius, and Houston just picked up a head coach and Paul Silas' son and Steven Silas. So it's a lot of good things going on in the NBA right now in the offseason. I'll start with you, Barry. I'll let you cook that one off with the Daryl Morey situation. Going to Philadelphia, is that a good move or a bad move? Because we've seen that he had brought big names to Houston, but it didn't work out. Do you think he'll end up moving either Embiid or Simmons?
I think it's a good move. I think he wanted to, I think they were courting each other before a couple of years ago. And he wound up staying in Houston or going to Houston. I can't remember which one it was, but you know, listen, Sixers are making moves. They know they got two stars in tow. They needed the right coach to get these guys to the next level, and they needed the right president of basketball operations to get the right pieces around them. I don't know if they have to trade Embiid or Simmons yet. Maybe Morey can figure out to get shooters around them, shooters that can defend, so that this team can start to get to that next level. Maybe you give it a year or two, and if they can't figure out the pieces that go properly with those guys, I think you trade. I would trade Simmons. I think Embiid is too special of a talent because he's a big man. Even though he forgets he's a big man, he wants to hang around the three-point line. He is a big man that if he's on the block, not a lot of people can stop him. But he needs shooters around. He needs to space the floor. So, listen, I like the move. I like Morey going there. I was wondering what was going to happen with Eldon. You said
1 or 2 years there? They already spent, what, 5 years together, right? 4 or 5, right?
Yeah, but I don't think they had the GM to put the right pieces around them. I think they had the right piece in Jimmy Butler, and they let him walk. So I think that's the problem. I think they need another alpha male like that, a guy that can dominate the ball from the perimeter and defend. I think if they draft well and they bring in free agents around these two pieces, I think it can work. But to your point, they've been together for 5 years. So if they can't figure it out in that band, I think you move on and sell high instead of waiting around for them to figure it out. I could be wrong, but that's how I feel about it. But I congratulations to Silas for becoming a coach. I think he's the fifth father-son combo to coach in the league. His father, great player, great coach. You know, this guy's been under some great, you know, he's had some great guards that he's coached with Steph Curry, you know, with Luka Doncic, et cetera. He's been an assistant for, like, what, 19 years, almost 20 years. I'm glad he's got his shot.
You know, he's a smart guy. And I think, you know, I think they need somebody like that to figure it out in Houston, because Houston's a lot like the Sixers with mismatching superstars, two superstars that don't really fit together. Hopefully they figure it out. But congratulations to Silas. And, you know, I think both moves today, while surprising, I think Morley, I knew he still wanted to be in the game. I think he just wanted to be out of Houston, to be honest with you. But, you know, I both moves by both teams I really like.
Okay. Series real quick before we get out of here, because I want to get the pick for the Thursday night matchup. Your thoughts on your former GM getting the job this fast as he left Houston?
Yeah, yeah. You know, honestly, gentlemen, it doesn't come as a shock. You know what I'm saying? If you kind of look at the landscape of the GMs across this game, you know, Mr. Morey was definitely up at the top with his way he went about his business. He wasn't afraid to pull the trigger on things. He wasn't afraid to pick up a phone and make a phone call to try to improve, your basketball club. So, you know, it sucks to see him go, but salute to him. Honestly, man, I put a list together. I was talking with a buddy of mine on social media about the guys who I wanted to come in and coach Houston, and Silas was on that short list. And, you know, I really just wanted a fresh blood in there. You know, obviously I wanted something like a Mark Jackson or, you know, or something like that. But if we wasn't going to get a Mark Jackson or something like that, I really wanted us to go in a different direction. Also, rumor has it that Nate McMillan is going to also be coming along to sit on the bench with him, and kind of, you know, try to help us play better defense and kind of bring his expertise to a team that is still in still in position to contend in my Houston Rockets. So I can't wait to see what he does. I can't wait to see whatever moves we make. What other moves are going to be made during this offseason? We got a couple of people that are going to opt out, to opt back in. And, you know, I love NBA free agency, man. And it's right on the cusp of NFL free agency. So, I mean, that trade deadline is about to come and go as well. So it's going to be fun to see what happens.
Okay. I'm going to get in. I just want to hear y'all picks and we can get closeouts, because I know we got people on a short leash for the evening. And they got to get back to Flushing, Queens. Connecticut. Something.
Wow.
You know.
Wow.
It is. Okay. So we have a division battle. We have
hater.
A division. I don't hate people. I love, man. I got a love. I got a lot
no,
of love in my heart, man.
You're supposed to be some kind of freaking hero, and you're just as villainous as anybody else. I'm glad that you expose yourself for the people to see. You're not a hero. You loosen up the Blazers, they go up the top. You're a villain, just like everybody else. You're a villain.
Smartini, you got to see the smile on his face right now. He is smiling from ear to ear like his first grade picture day. I guarantee you he's smiling right now.
You exposed yourself.
Look, guarantee.
You're a villain. There's a villain in all of us.
Look,
there's a villain in all of us.
Smartini, you want to know the best part about everything I go through with Barry? He is dressing Xavier in Lions colors. Like, this is awesome. Like I gotta be doing some good work if I got him wearing gray and Honolulu blue hoodies. Like, this is great. This is awesome stuff.
What is he
this is happening
about?
He's really a Mets fan, Sports City. So two, and then he got Xavier wearing Lion gear. Yo, it got to be something.
Get out of here.
Listen.
Don't
bring
my son into this.
Hold on. You're bringing up my topic. I don't interrupt you like that. I let you speak. Don't interrupt my conversation. I didn't let you speak.
No, you didn't. See, that's what I'm talking about, Sherry. See, no women, no children. You see, I bring my son into it. Now I'm going to abuse my son.
That's my nephew. Listen, he wearing that Lion blue. Yo, he going to come over my house Sundays. We going to watch the game together. Popcorn and everything. I got him. You know what I'm saying? He going to be like, I love that game, Uncle Ty. No doubt. So we got to look. I don't even know if I get to call this game interesting, but the Carolina Panthers are 3-4, and I think that they're underachieving or overachieving. I don't know how I would say that, like, because they're playing better than I would expect.
They're achieving,
them to, but right, and they're under 500. In Atlanta, they're 1-6. But they have a firepower offense, but they just can't finish a game. And thank goodness they couldn't finish on Sunday because Todd Gurley wanted to score a touchdown. So that helped us to win a game. Thank goodness that Todd Gurley wanted to be a hero and score a touchdown. So I need you guys to give me a prediction on how this game goes down, plugs and closeouts. Mr. King, I'll start with you first. From the Sports Crib, I was on the show the other day. Excellent stuff with the people that he has in sync with him. Give me your thoughts on this game, ATL or Carolina. It's in Charlotte. And anything that you like to promote as well as we shut the door here at the cookout.
Well, of course, I'm going to promote the Sports Crib before I leave, but this is a kind of interesting game. This is a game where neither team really wants to win. So I don't know whether I'm going to go. I don't know whether I want to go with Bridgewater or whether I want to go with Matt Ryan. Well, since there's no McCartney, I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons. I'm hoping that they can score at least 40 points because we know the defense is going to give up 38. So I'm going to go with the Falcons here. As far as hello?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. No, finish. I'm sorry.
No, I said I'm going to go with the Falcons here. I think that the Carolina defense isn't that good either, but you know, neither is the Falcons defense. So, hey, what can I say? But I'm going to ride with the Falcons on this. I'm glad you guys always welcome me to the show, man. And you guys want to stop by tomorrow at the Sports Crib. We'll be talking, we'll be talking about the Dodgers. We'll be talking about Mookie Betts. But most of all, we'll be talking about why AD decided that Kobe and MJ were number one and number two. When it was in, I believe it was some guy named LeBron that actually got him his first chip. So, you know, are you biting the hand that feeds you? But just something to think about if you stop by tomorrow. So have a great night, everybody.
Whoa. You ain't going to just creep out of the building like that. So you think LeBron got Magic and Mike?
Excuse me?
You think LeBron has the edge on Mike and Magic?
Oh, hell no.
Kobe and Mike. You said Kobe and Mike, right?
Yeah. I think Kobe and Mike have the edge on LeBron. Yes, I do.
Okay. I'm making sure. Okay, well, you're safe. You're safe because it was about to be a wildfire. Okay. Thank you. Check him out tomorrow at the Sports Crib.
Miami.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
So all you got to do is look at that brick you threw up in Miami, and, you know, we can talk. But anyway, I'll see y'all when I see you.
Okay, I'll be around tomorrow. Sirius, you already know what to do. Close this bad boy out here at the cookout. Oh, Sirius, we lost Sirius too. Okay, so Barry, you already know what to do. A pick for tomorrow, Atlanta or Carolina, and a plug and close out.
I guess I'll go with Atlanta just because both teams probably, if you the way they're disappointed, you might as well just pick the more disappointing team, I guess. I don't know. Seattle made a nice trade today, too. Carlos Dunlap, disgruntled DN from the Bengals, getting him. That's all they need is a pass rush, and they may be able to make some waves in the playoffs. So I like that move. TP, I love you, man, but don't ever, ever, ever threaten my son with the Lions gear. Don't ever do that. That's just disrespectful.
Threaten him? I threatened him? Oh my god!
I mean, that's
child abuse. We know that. Come on, that's child abuse.
But
anyway,
abuse and threat. Oh, okay, no problem. Finish.
But I mean, serious. We love you, man. Good talking to you. I was waiting for that smoke from last week. I was waiting for you to say the Cowboys need to trade for Fitzpatrick. I didn't get that from you, but I'm sure we'll bring it up next week. Listen, thanks for coming to the cookout. You know, we'll see you next week. The villain is in everyone. It's even in a hero that thinks himself a superhero, but he's really a villain. I'm trying to prove it. I'm trying to show the world that he's really a villain, people, that he just wants to be the villain. He's not the villain. I'm the villain. He's just a villain. I'm the villain. All right, so, you know, we'll be back next week to talk more sports. The villain's out.
This is what I'm talking about, man. You get the riff. Like, this is like when you start to hit Thanos, like in Endgame, when Thanos thought he snapped his fingers, he got rid of the whole population. He busted up the stones, and you started seeing the real him, and he was like, you know, I'm inevitable. And then you start seeing the real in him, and you're like, yo, you really start to feel bad for Thanos, man. Like, he had no choice but to try to beat his bad guy, but you feel his heart, like where he's coming from, and his picked up daughters and things of that nature. And I'm not trying to do this. This is what I've seen. I've seen the story. Like, he's trying to hide Xavier's son and his daughter, you know, and she's up here cheesing, looking just like Barry, all beautiful, you know what I'm saying? And then you look at Xavier.
That's right. I'm beautiful.
Hold on. No. I said her, not you. Look. I said her, not you. Look. And then you look at Xavier. Xavier got the Detroit silver on, and he got the Honolulu blue. That's not Lions blue. That's not Philadelphia
that's
blue.
That's not Knicks blue.
That's not Ravens blue. That's not UConn blue. That's not none of the blues that Barry liked. That's none of the blues. There's nothing but timeless blue, and you know that. So tell a friend that. This is Chess again. I'm going with Atlanta. And if he don't know, don't he ever say threaten or child abuse to me. Now he knows.
Yeah. Should I do for a living, nigga? Eat for a living, nigga. I live for a living, nigga. Watch it. Okay. Students, watch it. Things just ain't the same for gangsters, but I'm a little too famous to shoot these pranksters. Holding these rap singers, claiming they bangers, doing all sorts of twisted shit with they fingers. Disrespecting the game, no home training the manners. I was doing this shit when you was shitting Pampers. I was moving them grams so you knew what a hand that hand was. Ducking the vans, radars and scanners. For